Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 300 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast with me, your host, Anthony DiDomenico. 300 episodes, we made it. Here we go. And you can find each one of those 300 episodes at anchor.fm/KMF podcast. Also available on iTunes. While you're there, 5-star rate and review. I love reading reviews. I love sharing on social media and bragging about the best podcast listeners out there. That's you guys. Check it out. All the bonus episodes are over on the Patreon, patreon.com/KMF podcast. Built Bar is coming out with some new flavors. A lot of them are marshmallow. You guys know how I feel about that. Some of them are good, some not so good, but check them out. BuiltBar.com. Use code WWBROPODCAST. That was the original name. That's why the code's that way. Also, while you're in the mood for saving, SailAwayCoffee.com, the best nitro brew out there. Local Long Island company, but I got to get behind them. They ship all over the country. SailAwayCoffee.com. Use code WWBRO10. And you will save 10% off your order. Please go and follow my friend John Ziegler on Instagram. John Ziegler Comedy. His special is available on YouTube. It's called John Ziegler Getting My Affairs in Order. Check it out. Let him know what you think. Really good, but give them the follow. Link is in bio. Check it out. Anyway, we're here. Episode 300. Insane. Absolutely insane. I kind of talked about it last week on 299. I'm not going to get emotional like I did then. Just once again, want to thank everybody who's been here from the beginning, the middle, and coming in now. It's so much appreciated. Anybody who takes the time to listen to this podcast, it means the world to me, and thank you. And, you know, we started out as a WWE podcast. We emerged into Keep Moving Forward. And it's enabled the podcast to grow leaps and bounds beyond anything I thought it would. And for episode 300, I wanted to get a special guest on. Somebody I always wanted on the podcast, Mud Hustler. And I reached out to Mud. I said, listen, man, I'm doing episode 300. Would love to be the guest. He wrote back right away. I was like, absolutely, man. Would love to do it. And I said, well, I don't know why we didn't do this earlier. You know, it was a great episode. We had a great conversation. And when I first started on WWE, Mud Hustler was like, you know, it showed us guys that, hey, no, this program works for men too. Guys are on this program. Guys are losing weight. Guys are successful. And then you went to his page, MudHustler_official. And the big ass waffle, the bird balls, all the good stuff he was cooking. We get into all that here. So please sit back and enjoy episode 300 with the one, the only Mud Hustler. You still work is going good and everything? You still banging it out?
Yeah. So the concrete business is busy right now. That's for sure. Yeah. It's the end of the season. So all our, we're trying to finish all our outside stuff up. So this is like a big rush before the bad weather comes in.
And that's where the name Mud Hustler comes from, right?
It's right. That's so a lot of people don't know. That's where it's from. Mud Hustler. It's like that. Some people think, is he a mud wrestler? Is it some like ingenious, you know, code for what he does in the kitchen? No, it's all about concrete. So slinging mud.
Yeah, is it a waffle batter? Is it like a waffle batter that we have?
I wish it was that creative, honestly, but it's not.
No, it's you know, and you can follow Mud over at MudHustler_official. You couldn't even get the original Mud Hustler, or is that you wanted that?
So I had Mud Hustler originally, okay. And I changed it for some reason to this was before like everything took off.
Okay.
On social media. I changed it to something else. And then I tried to get back because my handle on Connect was Mud Hustler. So I tried to, and someone had it. So,
oh, wow. I guess that's,
I mean, how bizarre is that, right?
Well, it's like, you know what happens when somebody like they'll watch like American Idol or the NBA draft or something like that. And they'll buy all these domain names like soandso.com or different variations of it. So they can actually sell it to this person that wants their name. Is it? So maybe somebody had the idea of like, listen, I'll just take it.
I wish that I was that big. I'm broke. I got no money.
Yeah, welcome to the club. That's my life every day.
Yep.
But it's awesome to have you on the show. Long overdue. I don't know why we haven't done this before.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm just weird with asking people. I just don't really like, you know, people. I'll have a conversation with them. And you know, it's crazy too. Like, you fell out of my algorithm. Like, I had to like search for your stuff. Like, it's
no shit.
Like, Instagram is weird. I'm like, is Mud still on Instagram? I'm like, oh yeah, he's still active. He's posting all the time.
Yeah.
It happened with Biz. I had Biz on a couple of weeks ago, and I said the same thing to her. I said, I didn't see you for like a week or so, like 2 weeks. I was like nervous about you. I actually texted her. I'm like, you okay? Everything all right?
Yeah.
Just a weird new algorithm. You know, I see people I don't follow on Instagram. It's not the same old Graham that we all know and love.
Yeah, I like the old Instagram.
Yeah, me too.
I like when things were in order too. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Now it's like, I could post something today and you might not see it at all, or you might see it 5 days from now. And it's like, it might not be relevant. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's tough, but.
Well, now that we've been communicating about the show, you're back in the algorithm, which is good. Cause you know, I love seeing the content and you know, I love waffles and donuts and all that good stuff. And
yeah,
who doesn't?
Right. That's why we're here anyway. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And for those of you who don't know, Mud Hustler is like the original WW bro. It's like documented. They gave him a hat. Like he's the real guy. He's the real WW bro. And kind of made a movement for guys coming on WW or Weight Watchers, as it's just now it's called back again. They keep changing the name.
Oh, is it back?
It's back. It's Weight Watchers. Yeah, they'll say WW, but like it's Weight Watchers. Yeah. Back.
I never stopped calling it Weight Watchers anyway. So
neither did I. It was always Weight Watchers. I mean, it was or Dub Dub is like, you know, the cool kid said it. Like,
Yeah. That's not cool though.
No, well, you know, I'm not cool either. So it all goes into the format. But yeah, that's how I came across you, because every guy who joins WW, they like send them your profile. I'm just kidding. No, but it's like everyone's like, you gotta follow this guy, Mud Hustler. He makes donuts and waffles, and it's like all point friendly. And you're like, what is this mythical creature they're talking about? I have to see this. And sure enough, there it is. And step by step how to do it. So how did you first come up with this whole format? And then we'll kind of get into the WW journey, but like, what was like the first creation like you made, and how did it take off?
So man, so my whole story with Weight Watchers goes back probably close to not quite 20 years. I'd say maybe like 16 years maybe now that I've been off and on. And it was the only program that ever worked for me. But in the beginning, it was all about like, I'm just feeling uncomfortable. I want to feel more comfortable when I'm at the beach, or I want to fit into something. I'm going to a wedding, whatever it is. And it always worked for me. I'd go to meetings every Saturday. I'd sit in the back. I'd be like one of the only dudes there with all the old ladies, you know, eating their yogurt and their bananas. And, but I loved it, you know, and they accepted me, you know. And I was doing there what I did online, but it wasn't really an online thing, you know, back then with Connect. But then back in, so that was off and on. And then back in, I want to say 2016, maybe, I had a medical issue and I had to go to the emergency room, and I had to start making some serious changes in my life. So now it wasn't about how I look. It was about your health. And I think I was 30, maybe 35. I'm not gonna do the math right now, but I think that's right. So I was about 35, and however old I was. I had the medical problem, and I had two small kids at the time. I'm married. They had an intervention like right in the hospital, the emergency room. They called my wife in, and they were like, "You got to make some changes. You know, you're a young man, and you know, you want to see your kids, you know, grow and stuff like that." So I was like, all right, I got to take this serious.
Yeah.
So how do I do this and make it work for life? Like I can do chicken breast and kale for a short span or something like that, but how am I going to eat waffles and donuts and, you know, burgers and stuff? So I just said, I got to make this work. So I started messing around in the kitchen, and this is how we got here. Cause I am no chef, you know, I'm a chef by, necessity.
You can fool a lot of people. I mean, because you definitely, the food looks awesome. The recipes are great and easy to follow. It's almost like you had a background in how to do this, but You know, that's how I learned how to cook first, like way back in the day when I worked at a supermarket. You know, I would make something and I would follow the supermarket's recipe and it was horrible. So I'd be like, let me just try a couple of things. And, you know, you learn how to cook, you pick things up. And before you know it, you're making food that actually tastes good. And then when I started WW, it was kind of the same thing. I didn't want to give up all those foods that I loved. Like, you know, like making the Sunday gravy and just like, you know, and pancakes and these kind of things, like, you know, call it stubborn, call it. I don't want to get bored. I want to do well, but I also don't want to burn myself out eating the same thing every day, like you said, with the chicken and kale and all that. And, you know, and I came across your page and everything, and I was like, okay, this can be done. It's like, you know, it's almost like a reassurance.
So, yeah. So the whole thing with Connect. So, you know, I may be like, I think people do refer to me as the original WW bro and all that, yeah. But when I jumped on Connect, I wasn't very involved with social media. I had a Facebook account. I had an Instagram account that, you know, it was just basic Instagram. It wasn't any of my journey. Like, I wasn't sharing any of this stuff.
Yeah.
My friends didn't even know about it, but, then my leader at the time, who's awesome, she's like, you should check out this Connect thing. And I got on there and I just started, like, I was just being me. I wasn't looking to be an influencer or a chef or anything. I'm just like, hey, I made these cupcakes. They're you can have 12 of them for 3 points. And people were like, oh, okay. And I also
cracked the code. It was like,
yeah, I didn't look like a typical Weight Watcher at the time. There wasn't a lot of guys on there. Mm-hmm. And the few that there were, I think there was a list at the time. There's I don't know if you're familiar with Wesley McCoy. He was before you, I think, maybe back in like 2016, 2017.
Okay.
Maybe even earlier, whenever Connect first launched, he's the one that started the hashtag. And he's like, it was like the bat signal. He used to scroll and just look for guys and like share that hashtag, WW bro, WW bros, WW bros. And it just, I became WW bro. Like, that was me. So Weight Watchers looked at me and they were like, look at this guy. He's, you know, a regular dude. He's struggling with his weight. He's making this cool food. And, you know, he doesn't look like our typical Weight Watcher. So he's kind of interesting. And, you know, I just kept it on Connect. I didn't share anything. And then they used to do this thing. It was a call with Oprah. They do it once a month.
Yes, I remember those.
And they reached out to me and they're like, hey, you know, we'd like for you to be a guest on the next call. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know why she wants to talk to me, but all right. And Oprah's people contacted me and they're like, do you have any social media? They wanted to like find my story or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I have social media, but you're not going to find anything on there except like concrete and like sneakers that I bought. And I'm like, check out Connect. You know, that's how you guys found me. Right. And they're like, what's Connect?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, it's the Weight Watchers social media. That's where everything is. And they're like, well, we need you to, you know, you should probably start an Instagram with your journey. You know, we'd like to share some pictures and follow along and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is so strange that, you know, they don't even know what's going on. So I'm like, all right. So I
Mud Hustler came. Yeah, and probably sent your information and was like, here it is. And they don't know. Oprah's people don't. They're not checking.
No, no, they didn't know. They don't know. But anyway, it's so that's how I was like, all right, I guess if I'm going to talk to Oprah on the phone, I want the world to know because this is pretty cool. So I guess I'll start sharing my story. And that's when Mud Hustler Official went on social media and started sharing stuff. And I took it off Connect and onto regular social. Just turned into what it turned into, you know?
Yeah, that would be like, I mean, I remember that happened because like when I first started, I started in 2017. So like, I remember seeing you like on WW's Instagram, we watched Instagram and stuff like talking, you know, talking to like a convention and
that was awesome.
I actually wrote you early on, like in the early days, I was like, hey man, where did you get that hat? And you're like, oh, they made it for me. I was like, God damn it. I guess I thought it was a cool thing. Like, you know, because any guy that's done Weight Watchers, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You're one of the only guys in the room. When you lose weight, people look at you like you're the devil because, you know, men do tend to lose faster. I get it, but it's not like you're not doing the work. They look at you like, you know, you got three heads and they people would roll their eyes sometimes when I said how much I got to the point where I didn't want to share anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you'd say, oh, I lost 5 pounds this week. And like, you get to, you know, the way in front of you doing this. I'm like, okay, well, thanks. I mean, I feel great about it, but it is true. Like even now I still go to my workshops. It's me and my best friend, Nick. We sit in the back. I'm more active than, you know, in the meeting now than, you know, than I used to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that time it was like a very, it was like they pushed it toward for women. There was like a women's, you know, weight loss program.
It's probably the only place on the planet where like it's a woman's world and the guys are like, you know, tossed aside. Everywhere else, it's all about the guys, you know, but yeah, it was kind of weird. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to share my stuff. I talk to everyone. Like I talk to Oprah, like I'm talking to you right now. You know what I mean? A lot of people, Weight Watchers loved my interaction with her and, they liked my story and they wanted to start working with me. So I was like, this is crazy. Cause first of all, I'm more of an introvert. I've changed quite a bit over the past 10 years, but this wasn't my thing. Like sharing my life and talking about things, but I would get these messages from women. Now they'd show their sons. Look at this guy. Look, he's got muscles. Look, he's got tattoos. He goes to Weight Watcher meetings on Saturdays and, you know, they'd have the son struggling with their weight or a husband. And next thing you know, they're dragging him to meetings because like, hey, look at this guy. He's all right. He seems like a cool guy. You know, he's doing it. It's working for him. So I'd get these messages and these emails and I'm like, this is insane. All these people reaching out to me. So I'm doing a lot of good. So I guess I'll just keep doing it. And it became like a great thing. And it also was like horrible. Like it totally destroyed my journey became Mud Hustler's journey, not Jonathan's journey. Yeah. And my wife, she said it and it hit me like a ton of bricks. She said, cause I'm still struggling with my weight now. You know, I'm probably the heaviest I've been since, I don't know, 2016. And she's like, Mud Hustler lost the weight. Jonathan didn't lose the weight. And I was just like, damn, that hits hard. That's true. And it all just became, I got to get this recipe out. I got to get this post out. I got to do this. I got to share my code. And I'm like, I'm so burnt out with that stuff. Like the whole, like, you know, link in my bio, all that bullshit. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm done with it. I'm just like, it burnt me out and I got to get back to being healthy for Jonathan and not for how many likes can I get? How many, I got to get a post out or how many followers can I get? That's not the important stuff. It's your health and all, you know, and the message. So if I can do it and help people, that's great, but I'm doing it for me now. You know,
I totally get that 100% because, you know, when I was kicking ass and, you know, being a rock star, I felt like I didn't get a post up today. I didn't get a side by side. I didn't get two of my faces together. I didn't do this. Like, you know, and yeah, you felt like you were doing it for Instagram in a lot of ways where like, and also I was trying to be an ambassador. That was like a big goal of mine was to be a WWE ambassador because, you know, they had me up to the headquarters and they told me, you know, I probably told you the same thing. Hey, we don't have a lot of guys in the program and you don't look like the typical guy who would join WW and we'd love to, you know, showcase you and this and that. And, you know, I believed the hype and I was excited about it. And, you know, I kind of curtailed everything I was doing towards what I thought they wanted. And I kind of got lost in that.
Yep. I hear you, brother. I was there. I was in that room. Yeah. Probably with a different person because nobody that I dealt with probably works there anymore. But I, you know, it all from the Oprah call to the flying me out to be a speaker at their national convention. And I mean, I've had some great experiences with them and I love it. And there's some things I would change that I did, but, you know, just being able to reach people and help just one person saying you changed my life or you helped my son or, you know, my husband's off blood pressure medication or I'll get a message. you know, I was able to walk to the mailbox today. Like I haven't been able to do that in 10 years. I have to take the car because the big ass waffle saved my life. Like these things are the things that like, I look back and I'm like, you know what? It's okay. You know, I helped some people, but yeah, that whole Weight Watcher, you get in that like spell, you know, you want to do the right things and you want to toe the line and do what they want them. You want you to do, and they make you feel great. And you're like, I owe my, you know, my weight loss to Weight Watchers, but no, you did the work. You followed a program and you did the work yourself and you know, and you pay fees to do it. And you know, so it's not, there's no magic involved. It's just, you know, I feel like, they try and take whatever they can. And when you are looking for, you know, a little bit back, they're like, nah, we're all set with you, you know? So.
Yeah. I had those moments. Like, you know, when I went up there, it was, and I've told the story before, but I don't think I've never told you this. They were looking to do a podcast. They were looking to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the pilot episodes they did. And after our episode, I sat there in a room with somebody who conducted who was one of their coaches. And they picked my brain about podcasting. And like, it wasn't even about Weight Watchers. It was about podcasting. Like, mm-hmm. You know, what should we do? And one of the questions they had was, how do we get this out to people? And I was like, well, you don't have to, because you have an app with a social media with millions of people. You just put mm-hmm. it on there.
Right.
And those now are the walk talks. Those are the walk talks that they did.
Very similar. Listen. All right. So, man, we can go deep on this.
Yeah. Well, let's go do it.
So when they sent me out to Newport Beach for that convention to be a speaker, when I got on stage, I actually said, whoever's in charge of marketing, if you're in the room, we need to talk when I get off the stage. And they immediately, that's what happened. And I'm talking to the VP of marketing or whatever his position was at the time. While I'm there talking to him, all these leaders are coming. Can we get a picture with Mud Hustler? We want to get a picture. And he thinks that like, I'm like putting on a show. Like I put him up to this. I'm like, this is what's going on right now. So yeah. Let me listen to me. Let me tell you how you want to reach men. You want to get a different demographic. You want to make Weight Watchers cool and not like for a bunch of, you know, older folk. I'm being kind. I'm an old folk, you know, I'm almost 50. You know, I had a nice conversation with them and it was supposed to continue on and I was treated like royalty and everyone loved me. I talked to Oprah's people and they were calling me Bropra. I was like, I mean, it was, I felt like, wow, how did I get here? How did this happen? It was amazing, amazing experience. And then I got a manager. Cause I'm like, I'm out of this concrete business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make food and I'm going to, you know, do whatever. This is my new life. This is what I'm doing. I did it. That's it. I don't have to, you know, kill myself anymore, you know, physically. I can make a great life for my kids. I can, you know, pay the bills, which is great. And I got my manager. And as soon as I got my manager and he's like, okay, well, you know, if you're going to use my client's photos in his stuff, you know, his posts and stuff like that, you're going to have to pay for that.
Gone.
And they didn't like that very much. And that was it. That was the end of that.
They got rid of it. They dropped like a bad habit, right?
They did a whole commercial. And I'm friends with all these guys.
I remember all the guys in the commercial. Yeah.
And they're sending a pamphlet to them. This is what we're looking for. And it's Mud Hustler. Here's Mud Hustler with his buddies at the bar.
Yeah.
Here's Mud Hustler in his inflatable pool in his backyard. This is what we're looking for. Can you give us that? And my buddies are all like, dude, what is this? And I'm like, I really don't know. And I was happy for the guys that they chose and they're friends of mine. And they're like, do you have a problem with it? I'm like, I don't have a problem with it. That, good for you. And that was that. And I just continued to do my thing. And even though I wasn't embraced as the golden child anymore, the WW bro, they couldn't stop what was going on. I was still had more followers than anyone on Connect. And I still had this poll, and they gave it another shot. And they sent me out to New York again. And I sat down with the same guy that I talked to in California. And my manager came with me this time. And before we go in the meeting, he says, just keep your mouth shut. Don't give them anything. And as soon as I get in the meeting, I'm like, here's all my ideas. This is what I want to do. This is what you should do. And he's looking at me like, you're an idiot. You're giving them everything. And their whole thing was, you know, we don't want to take you on as an ambassador. We feel like you're too rogue, is what they said. And I said, well, my draw is me being me. So if you want me to be not to be something else, then you're not going to have me. You can have somebody else. So they said, well, why don't we take you on as a consultant? And I'm like, I love it. That's excellent. Because here I am, I'm trying to start my own brand. And my whole thing revolves around Weight Watchers.
Yes.
So I need them just as much as they wanted me. So I open up my mouth about all these ideas. I'm like, give me a camera and a truck. And I will go across the country and I will sling waffles and I will sling bird balls and donuts out of this food truck at meetings across. Nope. My son's trying to get on camera. Okay. I'm on a podcast, buddy.
I know.
Okay. So I'm like, give me a camera. I will go across the country. We could do like a little video, throw it on Connect, whatever you want to do. I gave him all these ideas. My whole No Finish Line Nation. I gave him everything that I was doing there. And I left with a handshake, nothing signed. And we'll get in contact with you. I'm going to be a consultant for them. That was the last time I heard from anybody. And a few weeks later, you got DJ Khaled. They sign up as a ambassador for Weight Watchers. And now he's on tour and they got a food truck with him and a chef that's cooking all this food and slinging all these Weight Watchers. And that was their answer to everything I just opened my mouth about.
100%. They even put it in the Barclays Center here in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They have the WW Cafe. I actually ate that. Went to the Hall of Fame for WWE. And I had the food there. It was pretty good. But like I'm saying, yeah, this all came out like around that time. And I remember hearing things about this. Like, and it doesn't surprise me because, like I said, I went through it on my own. Like, things I would say on the podcast would be in the literature.
Yeah.
Like, not even things that I made up. Like, I know I made it up. I'm a comedian. I know it's original, and I know when I come up with it. And it would be in the materials. And like, I'm like, there's no way. And people would say to me, didn't you just say that on the podcast like not too long ago? Because people, I'm like, yeah. I said, I'm not surprised because they listened because they told, you know, they, when I went there, they knew they were bringing up stuff from not just like random episodes. Like, so they definitely checked it out. I don't know if they still do. You know, I changed the name because one, I wasn't giving free advertising to them. Also because we all evolve and we all do different things. Like, you know, you came out with No Finish Line Nation, which is, you know, it's for everybody. Like, it's we're on a journey, and whatever tool you choose to use or whatever, you know, we're all in the same boat. So do you think that one of the reasons they didn't make you an ambassador and a consultant was because you had the No Finish Line Nation and you weren't just upholding the WW?
No, I feel like they said I had a pretty hardcore manager. So I got the manager because, so everything that happened it happened by mistake. Like, I didn't set out and say, listen, I want to do this and I want to do that. And this is what I want to do. It just all fell on my lap. And I had a follower that was this big time book publisher on Connect. And in a comment, she said, everyone used to say, when's the cookbook coming out? When's the website happening? Where's the merch? And she said, I'm a publisher for so-and-so. If you want to write a book, reach out to me. And I'm like, oh my God. All right. Yeah. Okay. Let me look this person up. I just happened to look them up and they were legit. So I contacted her and she got back to me and she's like, listen, at the time she was working with like, Emma Roberts or someone like that. Some actress was writing a children's book or something was going on. She's like, I don't typically work with, you know, you know, people who were just starting out or anything like that. But I see what can happen here, and I want to get you to a spot where we can do this. So okay. She said, I'd like to hook you up with a manager who can get you to a certain level as an influencer, and we can get this book done. And that's how the manager came about. Okay, so that happened.
Okay.
My manager's like, we need a website. We need to start putting merch out there. So now I'm giving everybody everything they've been asking me for. And now everyone hates me. They hate me. They're like, who is this guy think he is? You know, Mud Hustle a t-shirt. So all these people that were supporting, not all of them, but some people that were pretty close to me were like, screw him. Who's he? Who does he think he is? And I'm like, you all asked for this. You asked for this.
That's that's man. I mean, you know, Dane Cook talks about it in one of his bits that he does about like how he Googled himself and he was reading all these negative things. When Dane Cook came out, everybody loved him. Like, you know, he was. And then like all of a sudden when he got famous, everybody hated him. It was like, you can't like, you know, it's like I grew up listening to punk bands and it's like a lot of kids were like, the more like obscure and the more no one knew it, the cooler you were. Like if you listen to Green Day or Blink-182, you're a sellout. I'm like, no, I listen to music I like.
Yeah.
You know, and if a band that I like does well and becomes famous, I'm happy for them. They're living, you know, they're making money now off their dream. They're not sleeping on couches and like, you know, playing tickets from town to town. And that's the same thing in comedy. It's the same thing what you're doing. Like, you know, people love the journey and you getting up to the top of that mountain. And then when you were there, now they got to tear you down because it's sick. I have a friend who goes through it. I don't know if you follow Jarp's journey, John Arpino.
It sounds familiar. I don't think I follow him though.
He's lost like 300 pounds. He's had bariatric surgery. but like, he's got a lot of haters. I mean, you know, they tell him that he did it the easy way and he did all this. But meanwhile, he's in the gym like 5-6 days a week, works his ass off.
Yeah.
He works hard. He keeps it off. And, I think anybody with success, they're going to find a way to tear it down. And I remember some of the backlash that you got just from, you know, you see it just from being on social media and comments and this and that. And I was like, where is this coming from?
So all of a sudden there was people who really supported me and loved what I was doing. And then there was people who, even some people that were close to me at one time that hated it. And so to answer your question about why you think they didn't go with me, the reason was they're not going to pay. They didn't see the value there.
Okay.
They see the value in a guy like DJ Khaled that has millions and millions of followers on social media and can reach a whole different. It didn't go well for them, but no,
because he didn't lose it. He lost a pound, and you know,
it just wasn't. And it wasn't genuine. It wasn't. Listen, I'm not selling anything. I'm in the trenches with you. I'm there. I'm living this life. Like this is. I'm not doing it for a paycheck. Although, yes, you know,
like it'd be nice.
I would love to get. I mean, my manager was a little crazy, but you know, he's getting, you know, 10% of nothing, so he wants to get something. And
well, that's the thing where they didn't realize what was so great about the ambassador program they created. The Weight Watchers ambassador program was great because people saw people they knew
right,
or were in a workshop with, and it was like, oh my god, this is attainable. When you start bringing on celebrities, you know it's a paycheck. You know it's not real. I mean, yes, they could, you know, even if they did, they have chefs. They, it's not like you and me working all day.
No.
Now we're home. It's 5:30. We're tired. We just want to eat something quick. But now we know we're gonna make a healthy meal. Like, you know, people don't understand. Oh, I got to get to the gym. You know, when you have the ambassadors that, you know, are real people.
Yep.
It made that program, I think, so relatable. And that's the biggest mistake they did was getting away from it.
Yeah. And I think a huge mistake also was when they went the whole wellness route instead of keeping it what it was.
Yeah.
Weight watching.
Yeah.
Watch your weight. Like, I'm the type of guy, like, it works for me. So I've always been a tracker. I got to write it down. I don't care if it's on a Dunkin' Donuts napkin. I need it there. It's just like balancing a checkbook to me, and it worked for me. And it didn't matter if it was points, smart points, points plus, whatever system there was, I went with it.
Yeah,
the only thing I hated was
any points.
What's that?
Your sister's points, any points, anything they came out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, it, when it, the thing I had trouble with was the, hey, eat as much chicken, corn, eggs as you want. And you can't tell a guy like me that, because I'll that's my problem. I don't know when to stop. So I always needed like, here's your money for the week. Now balance your checkbook. And you know, if you have any money left over, that's great. That's a bonus for you. You can use that money if you want to, or you can save it up. And it always worked for me. It was a great program. And then when they went the wellness route, and it was like, listen, I'm not joining a yoga class. This is not what I'm here for. I'm here because I have a serious issue with food, and this is a great program for me. So I struggled a lot with that. And I was open about that, which they didn't like. But, you know, I don't even know. I'm probably not even on their radar anymore. I mean, I'm not very active. I'm not active at all on Connect, and I'm all burnt out from this whole influencer bullshit. It's yeah. Like, it's now it's time to listen. You need to take care of yourself for you. And if you help people along the way, that's great.
I'm in the same boat. I gained back like half the weight I lost.
Yeah. It happens. That's why this is forever, man. It's like, you got to deal with this forever.
Yeah. You know, in 2020, I was like, I was flying. I was like 2018, 2019, 2020. And then I had like this emotional thing that happened, and I didn't recover from it. And it took me about a year to get my bearings again. And, you know, you wake up and it's like, okay, the weight's all coming back. And, you know, you go down that slope, and it's true. Like, you know, I'm like, and it's true. I still now, even when I'm starting over, I'm doing things, I get like this sick thing in my head where I got to put this on Instagram. I have to post on Instagram. I'm like, no, I'll share what I want to share. And I was just like, you know, and my thing too, I always wanted to help people. I always wanted to show people, no, this can be done, because I am a bigger guy.
Yes.
And I do see guys that, you know, I do talk to people that have like no hope, and they're like, there's nothing that can be done. And there's not, like, no, it can. If you just like, just, I did it. I'm still in the fight. You know, it can be done. And so that's what I use. And I use social media now more is like, this is me, especially when they got rid of the whole ambassador program. It was like almost like a weight was lifted off my chest.
Yeah.
I didn't have to hide who I was anymore. I'm a comedian. I like off color shit sometimes. And I didn't post that. I didn't post jokes that I did. I didn't post a lot of stand-up clips.
Right.
Or just things I found funny. I didn't post me smoking cigars, you know, that I enjoy, that I like, and that, you know, I want to put on my page, because this is me. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very freeing when that happened, because now I am who I am.
I get it. I get it. We have there's a lot of similarities between us in this whole thing. And it's true. And
I think they kind of like, when they went away from you, they started courting me a little bit. And it's almost like the timelines are right there.
Oh, you know?
And it was like, and think about it. We're kind of like, you know, we tattoos, accent from a certain city. Yes. Like, so it's not, you know, guys that wouldn't fit the mold. Like,
exactly.
You know, and they were courting me. They were like, and you know, they dangled that ambassador thing over my head so I would do what they wanted me to do.
Mm.
And that year I didn't get it. Like the guy who, like one of the guys who got it, I was like, are you kidding me? Like this guy? No one likes this guy. He ended up, they kicked him out of the program because he sent a picture of his junk to somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like some of the people making the decisions, I don't think are very involved, or at least they weren't. But
I got messages from people, like DMs, like, I can't believe it wasn't you. Like, I'm like, okay, like people were like waiting that day for me to announce it. Like, everybody had their I'm an ambassador sign. They were waiting for me to announce it that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's too bad that, because they missed the boat, but
yeah. I mean, think of what they could have done with us. Boston versus New York, Yankee games, Red Sox, you know, all these things, like eating hot.
So many ideas. There's so many things they could have done.
Yeah.
And it's too bad. It's they're a tough company. Honestly, it's, but there's, so the people that follow the program,
mm-hmm.
are so loyal. Like when you follow the program, it works. Okay.
Yes.
You know it, I know it. And people love it, and it becomes their life. And then after they get the success they want, the next step is I'm going to become a leader. So now they're working for this company. So they have such loyal, it's almost like a cult. It's like these loyal followers. But you're not getting the same, they're not loyal to you in return. So it's like,
and I'm guilty of that. I love the company, but where I kind of now instead of putting that loyalty into the company and wanting to give them everything, I love the community. I mean, people that are on this program are great. And just outside of it too, like, you know, like joining groups that are like No Finish Line Nation and like groups like that, where you can now expand and where it's the people with, you know, in this together, whatever program you want to use. Cause listen, I've gone off and joined on and off again. I always go back to it because it is the only thing that's ever worked for me, is Weight Watchers. And again, like, you know, I've done episodes, people like, oh, it sounds like you're WW bashing. I'm like, well, sometimes I am because I'm pissed, but other times, no, I'm just telling you the truth and what I'm going through. Yeah. And, you know, again, I'm not giving myself to a company anymore. I want to be, you know, I want to surround myself with some good people and just get through it together.
So the community, I think, is such an important part. Mm-hmm. And when you surround yourself with people who are supportive and love you or want to see you do well is great. But there are two sides to that coin too, because there are a lot of broken people that are in this community. I mean, we go to food, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like someone else going to alcohol or drugs. So we're going to that to comfort us for something. There's something going on in our lives that we go to that. Yeah. There's a lot of people with a lot of issues and a lot of broken people. And there can be a lot of mean hate.
Yes.
In these communities. Oh. And it's tough. And there's also the other, you know, like you said, the support is out of this world. And I've made some friends that I'll have forever that are the like family to me that I met through this journey. So
yeah,
it's just like social media. It can be the devil and it can be a great thing. It's, I guess it's who you surround yourself with and what you listen to and read. I did Google my name, Mud Hustler, and there is some nasty, nasty stuff on Reddit about me, but you know, whatever.
You know what, though? That means you did the right thing and you're doing the right thing. That's all that means. I mean, it's the more successful you are, the more it's crabs in a barrel and people want to bring you down. And, you know, I tell my friend John Arpino all the time the same thing, you know, because it's human nature to get down about it and to like, why are they doing this? Like, all I did was try to help and all I'm doing is taking care of myself. But that's like you said, that broken people thing. That's, they have something in them that they can't put that out. They can't put that fire out where they see somebody's being successful and doing that. And they feel like if they tear you down and bring you down to where they are, and if you're struggling, it almost makes them happy because like, see, I'm not alone in this. And where instead of coming up to your level, they want to bring you back down to theirs.
Well, I'm sure a lot of my haters are happy that I gained a lot of my weight back. So.
Oh, mine too. I mean, believe me, I picture like people like, you know, when I posted remember the first time I posted a picture, like an actual body shot after the weight, I pictured them like dancing around the phone, like a, you know, hands like in the Grinch Stole Christmas with around the Christmas tree, you know, singing, I guess. Yeah, but what are you gonna do, man? Like everybody, it happens to everybody. I have social media. I see people, you notice things, but I don't care. Like if someone gains weight, they're struggling. I get it. You know, and I never was ever happy for somebody for falling off track. I never was happy for somebody for, you know, going through anything. It's just, to me, that's a sick, sick way to live. And I have my own issues that I have to worry about. I can't worry about anybody else's.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people that were very successful and they didn't plan for what happens after you get there. And they ended up right back where they started because their whole focus was getting there. And then what do you do when you get there? You know, now you got to live this life and maintain it. All right. So you got to your goal weight. Congratulations. Now what do you do? You know what I mean? It's like, what do you do now? Well, you got to keep doing it. That's what you got to do. So, you got here and now you don't know what to do. And you fall back into, you know, those comforting things and those bad habits. And you're right back in the same boat. That's why I was always like, that's why the whole No Finish Line Nation, and I'm not plugging the group or anything.
No, but, plug it, please. Absolutely plug it.
That's where it came from. It's like there isn't a finish line because you're in this. This is it. The finish line is when you're dead and buried. That's it. So you just it's just the journey. It's forever. So you're gonna gain weight. You're gonna lose weight. You're gonna have health problems. You know. Yeah. So, and And some people are on the program because, you know, they want to fit in a dress. And then there's some people that want to walk to their mailbox, like I said. Or there's some people that have health issues that they want to get off medication or that whatever it is. They're pre-diabetic. There's so many people that are there for different reasons. Like your story is, you know, losing hundreds of pounds. You know, that was never my story. My story was different. My story was not hundreds of pounds, but it was my health issues and my eating habits. And, you know, everyone has these stories, but when you're all like supporting one another and you're all in it together, it's like, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Knock on wood. I don't have any health issues. And I've had a couple of like a gallbladder attack, and you know, when I was in the hospital and they did all my blood work, I was sitting there, and now I've gained like 100 pounds back. I was waiting for the worst possible, you know, report to come back. And, you know, thank God my friend calls me a freak of nature. You know, I was okay. And it's like, well, one of these days you're not going to be okay. That's like, you know, what I have to keep telling myself.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, for me, it was never like I did it for like preventative maintenance, almost. Like, I don't want to get to that point. Like my thing was also losing all the weight so I could enjoy my life, live my life, go do things, you know, fit into the world a lot easier. You know, not have to worry about going to Yankee Stadium and where I was going to sit and you know, all that kind of stuff. We're getting on a plane and, you know, just be able to walk around outside and do the things I like to do. You know, go to the batting cages and hit balls for a while, you know, that kind of stuff. And I got to do all that again. And when it slowly starts getting taken away from you again, it's, you know, it's depressing and you miss it. And it pushes you to kind of work more harder.
It's scary too. So I feel like I say this a lot. You go into like this panic mode where it's like, what do I do? I'll starve myself. That's what I'll do. No, that's not going to work. You know, like you do all the things, you know, that aren't going to work, all the things that are wrong. It's, and you know what you got to do to do it right. You know what you got to do to take the weight off, but you get into this panic mode where it's like, what do I do now? And you start doing all those wrong things that aren't going to work. They're not sustainable. It's not going to work. And you got to just put 20 pounds more on or whatever the situation is. And listen, it's a great program and it works. And it works for men. It works for women. It works for everybody.
Does.
Unfortunately, they don't push it enough for the men.
They still don't. They still really don't. And I don't know why. And I think if guys knew of like a better option than, you know, cause not everybody wants to do keto, you know, guys that, you know, that's the thing, you know, not everybody wants to be on keto and, or whatever the thing is and whatever else there is out there. There's a program where you could track your food down. Like I like that too. Like I'm a tracker. I will have to track everything, good or bad. I like to see it on my phone.
Right.
And there's a good community, and you know, I think guys need to know that. And I always, you know, I tried to do my part. You definitely did your part, and it's just, you know, they for some reason will not continue to go down that route.
Yeah, it's strange to me. I mean, there's a whole untapped, like, say, there's guys that need help. There's guys, they need help, and they don't like, they won't, you know, guys, they. I'm the type of guy too. Like I won't go to the hospital unless something's hanging off me, you know, like, and I have to go, you know, and
I know that feeling.
It's like, you're not going to, just like, you're not going to ask for directions. You know what I mean? You're not going to ask for help. Like, you know, I wouldn't share what was going on with my buddies because I thought they'd all make fun of me and they'd all laugh at me. You know what I mean? And it's not, it's a serious problem. There's men have issues with food. Men have issues with weight, self-image, all that stuff. And you know, it's too bad that there really is nothing for geared towards men out there. I think that
not in a weight loss program, no.
But I
do like that, you know, society in general is kind of pushing more of that, you know, men's, you know, mental health, talking things out and getting that out there, which is I think a first step. You know, and that's good for that angle, but yeah, for just like, you know, being healthy and everything. Cause you know, like you said, guys are very, I'm thick headed. I don't go to therapy. I won't go to the doctor unless I think I'm dying or, you know, and that's not good, but
right.
That's just, you know, how I am. I mean, my two bad anxiety attacks that I had, I thought were heart attacks. It's the only reason I went to the hospital. And, you know, when I had my gallbladder attack, I thought I was dying as well. I thought my stomach was about to explode. And, you know, that's the reason I went. Otherwise, I would have toughed it out at home, and pain goes away in a couple of days, and you go back and do what you got to do. But you do kind of feel, as a guy, and this, I'm not saying this is the right feel, but you feel ashamed almost to talk about this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a shame in it, because your guy's not supposed to feel that way. And it's like, it's always okay. If a guy has a little weight on him, or, you know, it's okay. Well, it's not. We deal with the same self-image issues that women do. And,
absolutely.
And I'm not looking to have a six pack. I just want to be healthy and feel okay about myself. And there's a lot of guys out there that do. Like, even my food, it was never like, I didn't do these family meals. Like, I'm not, you know, out there slinging like these, like, casserole dishes for, you know, I'm making like, listen, I feel like having a burger. I'm just going to share what I'm eating. That's how, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of women that make the food that I share, but I know there's a lot of women.
I know the bird bowl is definitely popular. They talk about it a lot in my workshop.
Oh, really? That's great. Yeah.
My leader brings it up a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, whoever it helps is great. And I know I just have to go back to like the messages and the emails and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, you know what? The journey was worth it. You know, I'm not where I want to be health wise and weight wise, but I know I helped a lot of people along the way. And, you know, I made some great friends. I lost some friends.
I've been down that road myself. Yeah.
I realize I'm going to have to wake up tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and go to work pouring concrete, and I'm not going to be, you know, doing. That's another thing. Like, I had these opportunities to do cooking shows on TV, and I'm like, this is crazy. I just say yes to everything. And my whole reason why, and I'll tell you, that conversation with Oprah changed my life, because I said, if I can talk to Oprah, I made her laugh. I made her say big ass waffle. Then I can go on live TV and make a waffle.
100%.
I can go and make some meatballs. You know, I can do that. If I talk to Oprah on the phone, I mean, that was like, that's awesome. She's one of, whether you love her or you hate her, she's one of the most powerful people on the planet.
100%. She's like one of the, like a top five, like of people who are like wealth, power, money. And I know I grew up, my mother watched her every day.
Yeah.
So I would have been freaking out. Like, my mom would have been like, you know.
That was cool. That was enough. But like, that really changed a lot. Cause I just go back to that. When I get an opportunity and they're like, hey, you want to write a book? Hey, do you want to, you know, go on live TV and cook? I just say, yes. All right. I'll do it. You know? And I just go on there and I wing it, and I just do, I'm just being me. And
you throw enough stuff against the wall, something's going to stick. That's one thing I've learned in this in comedy and like in show business.
Yeah.
No, I've had heartbreaking chances go away. Like, you know, things that would have changed my life. You know, where you can't be like, okay, you can't dwell on it, because there will be another chance. Just keep doing your thing, you know, and one day that's going to be your thing, man. You'll be cooking somewhere, or you know, something will come out. You won't have to sling mud anymore. It's going to happen. I mean, it just, you keep throwing against the wall, something will happen.
We'll see. I don't know. I just keep saying yes to these opportunities. So anything that comes my way, I'm just like, I jump on the chance.
Well, as long as it makes you happy too. Like, I think about it that way. Like, you know, if it's makes you happy, you're doing it. It you know, fuels you, do it. Well,
I've been able to my kids have followed, you know, I have teenagers, you know, they don't think I'm cool anymore, but at one time they did. And like, they were able to come on this journey with me and like go to these places and see me speak and see me on TV and be behind the scenes, you know, on a cooking show and stuff like that. These are opportunities that I would have never had if I didn't go down this road. So, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with it, you know what I mean? But I am totally burnt out with the influencer stuff. And
I get it.
I can't even stomach it anymore. Like, I can't do it. You know, people still try and send me stuff, not as much as they used to. Yeah. And I'm just like, no, I'm all set, because I just don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to recommend your product. I don't want to give a code away. I don't want to say link in my bio. I never did. I always put my recipes out there. If I have a recipe online, you just have to look at my post and it's there. It's, you don't have to go click on anything where you might click on an ad and, you know, I might get 5% if you buy something at Amazon. Like, those days are over, man. I can't do it anymore. It makes me sick almost, you know. Oh, I just can't do it. Yeah. I can't do it.
I'm glad I don't, you know, promote like that much stuff anymore either. You know, I have a couple of codes that I throw out there every once in a while.
Man, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to, I'm not shitting on anyone who does.
No, I know. I know you're not.
It helps pay the bills. You know,
it does. About yourself, like you personally, like you,
I'm burnt out, man.
It is. I mean, I got fed up, like, you know, when I started getting fed up, a company had sent me these wraps and they were horrible. They fell apart. Like it didn't, and I tried to like, you know, take a picture and nothing worked. And I just, and then they got moldy like in 2 days. And I was like, you know what? These are horrible.
Yeah.
And the company wrote me, like, hey, we're not pressuring you. But I'm like, okay. I said, you know what? Weren't my thing. Thank you. And they kept on writing me, like, would I make a point? And I was like, you know what? I said, I can't, because they kept on falling apart and they got moldy. Yeah. They're garbage. So that's why I threw them in the garbage. I said, you know, your product, that's what your product is. Like, I got like nasty. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's not the best way to, you know, bring in, but like the same thing. Like I don't like pressure. I don't want to be pressured to say something about a product. Like I still promote Built Bar. I'm probably one of the old OGs that still throw a Built Bar code out there. But you know, when they send me something I don't like, I say in the beginning of the podcast, when I do my intro, I'm like, they sent me this thing again. I don't really like it, but maybe you'll like it. Like I'm honest. Right. Like, if I don't like something, I'll tell you the truth.
Well, that's the same thing here. I'd never put something out there that I didn't love. You know what I mean? Number one.
I eat billboards. I promote them. No big deal.
Yeah. I found Devotion Nutrition, which I don't work with them anymore, but they still have a great product.
Yeah.
And it works really great in my recipes. And I used to use Quest, which I thought was great too, but I had some issues with that with my stomach and I didn't have it with this product and it was great, but it's like, man, it's just people, they love and hate you. It's like, oh, you're using this product because you're getting paid to use this product. No, but I'm using this product because I love it. And you know what? I am getting some money from it too, because I'm out here killing myself coming up with these stupid recipes and, you know, and I'm getting like 4 likes on a post.
Yeah.
It took me hours to figure this out and calculate it and, you know, make a video and do this. And I'm like, what am I doing this for? You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to like make what I want to make. I'm not coming up with like some crazy concoction so I can get some likes and follows. This is what I'm eating. This is what I like. This is helping me out. If you want to make it, make it. That's it.
That's the way to be, man. Like it's crazy. Like, you know, you talk to these people like, you know, oh, of course he's getting paid. You know what? You put money in front of anybody, I guarantee they're going to take it. Like, what do you like? I was like, so what do you like to do? You like to cook? Or you like, what do you, like, you know, do you like to play golf? Or somebody give you money to hit golf balls all day, a certain golf ball. Would you do it?
Yeah.
That's the thing too. Like, yeah, like I was mentioning like the whole punk rock scene before. Like I would tell these people, don't tell me if someone doesn't put a contract in front of your face, millions of dollars, you're not taking it. And same thing with comedy. If somebody gave me $1 million, they wanted me to do something, of course I would do it. If I had to go to work tomorrow, I would do a lot of things. There's a list. Same. Yeah. You can't begrudge somebody for trying to make a living and, you know, and thing too, like I never begrudge people like, you know, who are influencers or, you know, do things to make money. People have families. You need money to take care of your family. You got to eat.
You know how much I see some. No, I follow a lot of probably the same people you follow, and I see what goes into what they're doing. And I did it, and there's a lot. I mean, I have a full time job. I have 2 kids, a wife. You know, and now you know I'm doing this stuff too. And it's like, yeah, do I enjoy cooking and getting in front of the camera and going on TV and doing this stuff? Yeah, I do. I really like doing that. Do I enjoy helping people? Yeah. Would I like to do that for a living and stop, you know, killing myself on the job site? 100%.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. You know, and I thought, you know, there was so many missed opportunities, man. There's so many mistakes made. But, you know, my alarm set for 5 a.m. tomorrow. I'll have the heat on in the truck driving to work because it'll be freezing. And then on the way home, I'll be blasting the AC because it'll be 80 degrees. And
yeah, I get up at 6. I got a half day tomorrow because I have a show tomorrow night.
Nice.
So I'll be performing down in New Jersey tomorrow night. So I get to play comedian for the night, and then it's back to regular life.
good for you, man. You got to keep doing what you do and the podcast and the comedy and all that stuff, man.
Yeah.
You're reaching a lot of people.
And so many times, like I talked about it last week. I actually broke down on this podcast for the 8 million. I break down here a lot. I'm a big baby. Like I was thanking everybody for hanging in here with me, you know, for 300 episodes, because you know what? The first couple of years, I mean, I'm not gonna say it was easy, but it was easy in the sense that coming on here, losing weight, everything's great. Like, you know, world is, you know, sunshine and rainbows. But like, you know, when things get hard, life gets hard and you got to come up on here and, you know, I'm very open and honest. You talk about things. It's tough, you know, and the people who have been there are there, you know, they haven't went away. And that to me means, you know, they believe in me when I don't believe in myself a lot of times. And that's, you know, means the world to me.
Oh, absolutely. And I applaud you for that because I tried it, man. I tried the podcasting. We tried two kitchens, tables, and a microphone.
I remember that podcast. Yeah.
And it was a struggle. It's tough because sometimes, you know, it's just so many, you have so many pots on the stove, man. And it's like, sometimes you feel like you're not talking to anybody, you know, you feel like there's no one out there listening. And it's like,
but Shane's still doing his thing though. He's got his podcast out.
Yeah, he's probably the most positive person I've ever met in my life. And it's not an act. I don't know how he does it. You know, that's why we worked so well together. Cause I'd make him laugh, but he was always so positive. And then I'd just like say something stupid.
I gotta get him on here because I like his message too. And we've got a couple of questions actually came through before we wrap this up. Actually, this one's from him. I'll blow his spot up. He said, how is it that there are two good looking dudes on the same podcast? Magic. Well, that's it. We're just bringing magic to you.
It's just the lighting, man. I got the ring light. That's all it is.
I have a Gourmet's old light. I don't know if you know Gourmet Goes Keto.
No.
See, he's a good dude too. Like another guy, he does keto. Obviously, Gourmet goes keto. Just a good dude. Like he was actually up from your neck of the woods. He's from Providence. I know you're in Massachusetts, but he was up in New England. Just a guy I met on Insta. You know, originally, actually, we met because my brother's friend moved to Providence, and they were on the same kickball team. And my brother's friend shared a comedy video I did, and we became friends that way. But like, I got on Instagram and found out he was in the same struggle. And just a guy, you know, going through the same thing together, and you meet some great people. Somebody here asks, "Okay, what does he do?" We pause concrete. We talked about that. Love of baking, is it lucrative? Does he enjoy the fame?
I wish I could answer differently. I wish it was lucrative. It's probably lucrative for a lot of people.
Yeah,
not for this guy.
And enjoying the fame. We kind of talked about that during the podcast. It's great. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. We got a question here. Mud, what's your favorite recipe?
The big ass waffle is my favorite, but I'd say bird balls are my staple, man. It's like, it's my go-to. If I need to like reset, if I need to like get back on track, like I'll make two batches of bird balls. It gets me through it. They taste great. I can do so much with them. I love bird balls. I even make burgers out of them, throw them on the grill. It's my favorite. Definitely.
Yeah. Cause great to have those staples. Like I do the same thing with like, I could do like, I buy ground turkey a lot and I make like a mixture and I can do 100 different things. They can make meatballs. You can make burgers. Yeah. You can make a meatloaf.
Yeah.
Just have those different versatile things that when you're just get, even like you said, when you want to get back on track, that's the most important time to do all that stuff.
Well, it's like when you're not prepared and you don't have something to grab, when you're an animal and you're hungry and you might've missed a meal or like you forgot to pack your lunch, whatever it is. If you don't have it there, you're going to grab all the garbage and you know how that goes.
100%. And this is not a question. Just somebody wrote love, no finish line mentality. It's never over.
We hit that too.
Yeah. I remember you guys had like used to do the conventions and stuff before the pandemic and everything.
We were ready. Me and Shane were ready to quit our jobs and do this full time. Like we're going to podcast and we're going to do these, you know, we're going to travel and do these conventions. And he was my sidekick. Like the greatest thing about Shane, I love Shane. He was always whatever stupid idea I came up with, he was like, let's do it. Let's do it. We can do this. And the first No Finish Line Nation event we had was in Boston. And it was incredible. And I'm like, I have this idea. And he's like, I'm in. And here I am. I'm calling up like these companies. Like I'm somebody. I'm like, I'm talking to Dan and Yogurt on the phone. Like, yeah, you know, can you send me a check for $10,000? And like, they're like, sure. And I'm like, holy shit, this works. So then, you know, we had all these sponsors and we were able to put on these events and it was great. And the first one was unbelievable. Then we had another one in Arizona and it was pretty good too. And we were gaining some traction and I'm like, this is going to happen. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah. I had something fall through for the pandemic that would have been a game changer. Like it was being on TV. It was a game changer. I'd be famous. Like it was going to happen. And just fell through and, you know, it's like one of those things that, you know,
can you tell us more about that or what?
Yeah, it was The Biggest Loser.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. So a casting agent contacted me from The Biggest Loser about, in 2019 and had me start going through the steps of signing in by tape and filling out the forms. And they were actually going to film it in Arizona and the pandemic hit and they didn't film anything. And the show never came back. Yeah. And that was it. And, they loved the fact that I was a comedian. They loved the fact that I, at the time I was down 200 pounds, but was kind of in a plateau.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think this will all play very good on the show. And my goal was never to win The Biggest Loser. My goal was to get on The Biggest Loser, stay a couple of weeks, be funny, you know, kind of like, you know, that now when it's Anthony from The Biggest Losers at a comedy club, it sells out. I got a door deal. I'm making 10, 15 grand a weekend.
Right. Right, yeah.
Like, you know, that's my job. And then the podcast would shoot out of the atmosphere and I can get sponsors. Like, I saw it. It was right there. It was all within a grasp.
That was very similar with the book. I talked to the biggest publishers in the country.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I didn't get signed, they were trying to figure, they didn't understand what I was doing with the protein. They're like, I don't understand. Isn't that for like bodybuilding? And I'm like, this is going back a couple of years. And I'm like, you know, Halo's Top ice cream. And they're like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Only I'm doing it with donuts and cakes and cookies. And they loved that once they got their minds around it. But then they're like, yeah, but we got to work around the Weight Watchers thing because Weight Watchers isn't on board. And that everyone passed. And
Weight Watchers also screwed everybody who had book deals.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I know that.
The individual points.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that was a fraud at all of us. All the guys, all the chefs out there that were trying to make something happen with cookbooks. That was the NFU. And, I almost had a TV thing going on too. My wife and I were going to coach couples.
Okay.
And, this was, you know, we didn't get too far with it. We did some stuff like you did. And, we were going to coach couples that were trying to, they were on a weight loss journey together. And my wife and I was going to coach them in the kitchen. My wife was going to coach them in the gym.
I've seen videos of your wife boxing.
She's nasty. She's nasty. And they were going to follow like, they were going to do like a married couple, a couple dating. Does one lose the weight? Does one keep the weight? How does it affect their relationship? It was one of those type of things that I'm like.
Sounds good. I'm all in.
I mean, at first I was like, I don't know, but that's the thing. I know we gotta go, but thing I did notice in this whole weight loss community is holy crap. Like people lose weight and next thing you know, they're losing spouses left and right. And some of the stuff we got to do another show. I could tell you so many stories. Oh my God.
I almost did this on Father's Day. And I'm probably going to do it next year on Father's Day. I was taking a picture of me, my cigar, my coffee, just like looking all casual and cool. And the caption would be Happy Father's Day to all the husbands whose wives are in my DMs. You know, just something like, you know, because I'm sure we could trade stories.
There was a dirt.
Like I tell my buddy John, you know, we sometimes would sit there and like a girl would hit me up and he's like, oh, I know that girl. I'm like, how do you know? Goes, oh, she did And it's the same thing. Like they go, you know, and it sees, and it's the same thing. People lose some weight. It's both sides, men and women. Yeah. It's like they're released to the world again. But no, you still have your thing over here. You got to kind of stay where you,
yep,
in your lane over here. But yeah, it is kind of crazy. And that the weight loss community in that sense is kind of crazy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, here in Long Island, just local, you know, it's been an experience, but, you know, it's been fun. I mean, like I said, the community is great. Like, you know, I got to meet guys like you and everybody else. And we finally did this podcast. And please, before we go, plug everything you want to plug, let everybody know where they can find everything.
I got nothing really to plug, but you can find me on all the socials, Mud Hustler, Facebook, Mud Hustler Official on Instagram. If you want to check out a great community that accepts everybody on any wellness journey, whatever plan you're following, you can hit up on Facebook. It's a great group of people called No Finish Line Nation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it, really. I got nothing. If you need a patio port or a pool deck, garage floor, and you're in the New England area, you can find me, Giordano Custom Concrete. And yeah, I'll come to your house and pour some concrete for you.
You can actually see Mud Hustle. Yeah. That's the way to do it. My brother pavers in his backyard. It costs him a lot of money, so I can. It's definitely a skill. So
yeah,
you know, like I said, I did it one day, poured concrete one day, and never did it again. My friend's uncle had a business, and like, yeah, I think I'm gonna tell jokes on a stage. I think that's better for me.
Yeah, I think I wish I did anything else, but here I am. 20 plus years later.
How you've been doing this a long time, right? Is
yeah,
yeah. Is it a family business or something you started?
No, I believe it or not, I was at Suffolk University. I was going to school for psychology, and one day I just decided it's not for me, and I had worked some odd jobs, and finally my father's like, "Listen, if you're not going to school, you got to learn a trade," and he was a cement finisher, and
okay.
I got in the local union, local 534, and eventually started my own business with my brother, and we've been in business almost 20 years now. So
that's awesome. That's great. Yeah. You know, I've seen some of the stuff you posted. It looks awesome. So you guys do a good job. And it's funny that you have a Suffolk community. You have a Suffolk. We have a Suffolk County and community college here on Long Island. So it's funny how those two things are very parallel.
And sorry about last night too. I know that your team lost, opening nights and
one game. The Knicks. I mean, that's the thing about the Knicks fans. I'm so dejected as a Knicks fan. They've been horrible for so long, and yeah. I'm still not over 94 Game 7 when John Starks went 2-for-18. I'm like, you know, the Yankees and the Giants and my Islanders. They keep the heartache going right now. So that's my pain.
Well, you know the story with all the sports here too. So because we're always been rivals, but you know, we got a shitty Patriots team again. So you know.
Makes all of us happy. Well, to me, you've always had one. I mean, it's never been a problem for us in the Super Bowl. It's never been. So quick, I was thinking, I never really asked anybody from New England this really. What was, so in 2007, Patriots are undefeated.
Yeah.
You're going against the Giants who kind of limped their way into the playoffs. They had a crazy run to get to the Super Bowl.
We don't talk about that.
I can't even get like a so one.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that.
You know,
just like I'm sure you don't want to talk about the biggest upset in the history.
I don't want to talk about before. Fuck before. I ain't talking about
No.
So it was crazy. So I'll tell you, like, from my perspective. So like when the Giants made the Super Bowl that year, I'm like, oh, they're not gonna win. I mean, it's great getting there. What a year! Like, you know, awesome. I mean, it was just great to get there. And then I'm listening to sports talk radio. And then, like, they're hyping up the Giants defense. I talk about this. And, like, halfway through the week, I'm like, what if? Like, what if?
Yeah.
But they're not going to pull it off. And then, 3 days before the game, I'm like, I was freaking out. I'm like, they can win this. I think they can win this. And, like, that game, I watched it with my ex-fiance and her family. And they had family friends over who weren't big sports fans. And I was, like, my face was melting. I was, like, having, like, convulsions. I was, like, losing. When Plexico Burress caught that ball, I let out a scream. I don't think anybody's heard in their lives. They've never heard a man make that sound before.
I might have made that same sound, but yeah, for different reasons.
Alternate universes. And I turned to my ex and I go, our first kid is named Plaxico. I don't care what you say.
And that
Plaxico
was it.
DiDomenico is the first kid. Like, that's like, you know, it was just like, you know, it was incredible. And, you know, so he's messing with my head. I don't talk about 04. I guess you don't talk about 07. I get it.
Yeah.
04 was not, that was probably the worst thing I went through as a fan.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Could have been any other team. I would have been able to deal with it.
Yeah.
And the Cigar Lounge I hang out here on Long Island, one of the guys, Kevin's a huge Red Sox fan. He's from here, but he just was a Red Sox fan.
That's going to be tough.
And every once in a while he'll just shoot, you know, something or a little jab about one of the past, and it stings. Still stings.
Yeah.
But I wanted to thank you so much for coming on this podcast, being a part of episode 300.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. And I'm glad, you know, I'm glad this is the first time, because it's an event, the first time you're on. And I'm definitely going to have you on again. If you want to come on, I'll definitely shoot.
I'd love it. I think we should do one with the three of us, Shane too. We could do a good one.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. You know, because I said, it's funny. I watch Shane's stuff and I'm like, he's so goddamn positive. Like, what is he drinking in that coffee? What
I
is
swear, if I didn't know him, I would be like, this dude is a phony. He is just that guy. It's amazing.
Well, you know, what's kind of funny. We were in a group chat a while ago, actually leading up to before the pandemic when you know, I was at, for the meetup, the event that was going to happen. It was me, you, Shane, and Jay.
Yes.
And we were kind of like working on doing something like with podcasting or something at the thing.
That was like the Super Friends, man. We could have, I had so many ideas. I was like, man, we could really make some waves.
And then the pandemic happened and everything. But like, I remember just like, you know, his positivity, like he was such a, everything was just like, you would like throw, he was behind everybody's ideas. Like it could definitely happen. Like you could be like, okay, I'm gonna build a robot, and it's gonna shoot rainbows out of its eyes. Like, yes, there's a way to do it. There's a way to build robots, and we can have.
You'd be like, let's do it.
Let's do it. And it's, I would definitely love to have all, you know, that three is on there. And I've reached out to Jay. He's not doing podcasts.
He's a great guy too. I know he.
He's one of the guys. Back then, like when I started, like kind of coming into the community, like he was very welcoming, and I've done his podcast a few times. I actually did during the pandemic when he did 100 straight days.
Yeah, I did one with him too.
And I always enjoy talking to him. He was such a he is a good dude. I'm not such a good, but like he's kind of stepped back from social media as well. And Jay, if you're listening, man, we love you and hope you're doing well. And want to thank Jonathan, aka the Mud Hustler. Thank you so much for being on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, I can't wait to do this again.
Awesome.
All right. Well, everybody, that was episode 300. I hope you guys enjoyed it with the one, the only Mud Hustler. Give him a follow, MudHustler_official. And once again, thank you for checking out all 300 of these episodes. It's been an awesome, amazing ride. Can't wait to see what the future brings and the next 300 episodes. Each one of these episodes, we've been played in and out by Hollow and their single, Something to Believe. My best friend Nick wrote this song. You can check it out on not Instagram. Check him on Instagram. There's a six. But you can check out Hollow on iTunes, Something to Believe. And while you're there, check out Nick's new band, Demon Scar, dropping new music like crazy. Check them out, demonscar.bandcamp.com. Long Island, only one place to go for your deli needs. That's Finn's Deli, 4646 Merrick Road in Massapequa. Tell my brother Mike you heard the plug on the show. Get yourself an Uncle Cheese, the best sandwich out there, not because I'm named after it. No, it's named after me. I'm not named after it. We're messing up the outro, too. That's how we do things here on the podcast. You guys know that. Check it out, finsdeli.com. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in each and every week. You guys mean the world to me. I'll see you next week with 301. Have a good one, everybody.